today's daf is Bamitzia daf Mem Gimel. We are holding on the top of daf Mem Gimel Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to discuss if a person gives money as a pikadon. He asks somebody to watch money, so it depends who that somebody is. We're going to discuss giving money to a shulchani, a money changer, to a balabais, just a regular guy, and to a chenveni, to a storekeeper. When do we assume they have the right to use the money? When do we assume they don't have the right to use the money? And that's going to determine what their responsibilities are going to be if the money gets lost. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if a shulchani is considered like a shoel or like a shomer sachar in terms of his level of responsibility toward the money. The Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to discuss if the value of a pikadon changes over time, what level one is chayiv. If a person is shaleach yad, is he chayiv based on the value of what the pikadon was when it was given to him, based on the value of what it is now? And the Gemara is going to compare this to a similar discussion about a gezela. You steal something when it's worth X, and then later on it's worth, by the time you're ready to pay it back, it's worth four times X. So what's the halacha in terms of how much you have to pay? There's a machlokas be Shammai and beis Hillel in our Mishnah in terms of a pikadon that changes value, but it's not abundantly clear what they're arguing about. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have four different explanations of what exactly the machlokas beis Shammai and beis Hillel is. But in addition to beis Shammai and beis Hillel, we're also going to have a third shita of Rabbi Akiva. So the second half of Amud Beis is going to discuss what Rabbi Akiva means when he says that you pay keshas atviya. He has some sort of third shita, and then to try to figure out, do we paskin like Rabbi Akiva or do we not paskin like Rabbi Akiva? Says the Mishnah, going to the Mishnah on the top of daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Hamafkin Moshe Etzel Shulchan. A person gives as a pikadon, he gives money by a shulchani, by a money changer, to safeguard the money for him. Im tsururin, if the money is bundled up, it's tied together, lo yishtamish ben, the shulchani is not authorized to use that money. And since he's unauthorized to use that money, lefichach imavdu einu chayiv b'achriyusan, if they get lost, he's not responsible for it, because he never had the opportunity to use it, so he has a very low level of responsibility. He's considered a shomer chinam. A shomer chinam is pater on geneva v'aveda, so if it gets lost, he's not going to be responsible. But mutarin, if the money is loose money, then the assumption he can work with is yishtamish behem, that he's allowed to use that money, that he is authorized to use that money. Lefichach im avdu chayiv b'achriyusan, and therefore, if the money gets lost, then he is chayiv b'achriyusan, then he is going to be responsible for it, because now clearly he has a higher level of chiyuv, so he's more like a shoel. He's like someone who's borrowing the money because he gets to use the money, and therefore he's going to be chayiv on any sort of aveda that happens with the money, if the money happens to get lost. Now there is a comment the Mordechai has in some Reish Tzadi Gimel, says, yeah, our Mishnah is talking about where you give money to somebody. What if a person is mafkid a sefer Torah etzel chavero? So he says, well, certainly the shomer is not allowed to read from it, he's not allowed to copy from it, but if the shomer is the Talmud Chacham, then he's allowed to do those things even lechadchila, even without getting explicit permission, because the mafkid knows that the shomer is the Talmud Chacham and he's going to want to learn from it, and therefore he's giving it al das kein. It's like giving money, and he says, just like when you give ma'os mutarim etzel shulchani, what does a shulchani deal with? A shulchani deals with money. So you give him loose money, of course he's going to deal with it. He's going to use it like he uses money. What does a Talmud Chacham deal with? Talmud Chacham deals with Torah. So you give him Torah, he's obviously going to use it the way that you would expect. Then the Mordechai just adds another point, and he says, you know, the Medrash and Mishle and the Pasuk Loyavozu Leganav Ki Yignov Lemalei Nafsho Ki Yirav. So you see, it says that you're not supposed to be Mevaza, someone who steals Divrei Torah and copies Divrei Torah. So the question the Achronim deal with in Chosh Mishpas and Reish Sadi Beis and Nosikel Mele Shulchan Aruch, the Sman the Shach, what does he intend to accomplish with that last line? Is he giving another reason that the Talmud Chacham is allowed to use it? That first he says you're allowed to use it because the guy knows when he's giving you a Torah, you're a Talmud Chacham, of course you're going to use it. And then in the last line, maybe he's saying, and even if he doesn't give you the right to use it, and you know that he doesn't give you the right to use it, but still Torah is different, that in terms of the first reason you would not be allowed to use it, because after all, when a guy gives money to a shulchani and it's all wrapped up and you know that he's not giving it to you to use, you're not allowed to use it, so the same should be by the Sefer Torah, but by Talmud Chacham it's different because you can't be mivaza someone for stealing Torah, because Divrei Torah is meant to be copied, it's meant to be transmitted as much as possible. That is the sheet of the Sma, that it's a second reason. The Shach, however, says that no, it's not two different reasons. Initially we say a Talmud Chacham can read it even if it's going to get ruined, because the Bailim doesn't mind. The Bailim is giving it to you with that understanding. But the Mordechai was bothered that even if he allows you to read it, he certainly doesn't want you to copy it. Why would you be allowed to copy it? So copying it is a different story. That's because you're always allowed to copy Divrei Torah. There's no bailus on Divrei Torah that you can't allow it to be copied. The only thing is, that reason alone is not going to work in terms of using the Sefer and the wear and tear on the Sefer. So for that, you need the first reason, that the Bailim actually gives permission. Says the Mishnah further, a second case. Let's say you didn't give the money to a money changer, but rather Eitzel Balabayis. You gave it to a regular guy who doesn't work in money changing. So Bein Tzurin, Bein Mutarin, Lo Yishtamish Ben. Then the understanding is Balabayis is not allowed to use it in whatever packaging the money comes, whether it's all together, whether it's loose money, he's not allowed to use it. Lefichach Ma'avdu, and therefore if it gets lost, since he's not allowed to use it, Eino Chayiv Ba'achriyusan. The Balabayis is not going to be Chayiv Ba'achriyus, he's like a Shomer Chinam, and therefore he's Pater on Geneva Va'aveda. The Mordechai over here says that the Tana was in Eretz Yisrael, where usually what they would deal with was real estate. But Bizman Azeh, where most people make their money with money, he says that apparently it was a Jewish profession to be a banker, to lend with ribbis, to Goyim, hopefully, but to lend with ribbis, so that's the way most people made money. Everyone has a din of a shulchani, meaning these aren't dinim that depend on what you call yourself, whether you call yourself a money changer, you call yourself a bal bayis. It depends on what the assumption of the guy giving you the money is. If he knows that's what you do in business, you're always dealing with money, whether you call yourself a shulchani or whether you call yourself a bal bayis, but that's what you're always dealing with, then he's gonna be allowed to use the money. So the whole chiluk of a shulchani and a balabayis is only a chiluk in those circumstances where balei habayis generally don't deal with money. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way. Shulchan Aruch writes, a balabayis rovis kobimos dino kishulchani, has the same din like a shulchani. Says the Mishnah the last thing, and what about a chenveni? What about someone who's not quite a balabayis, where he's a totally private citizen that doesn't deal with money, nor like a shulchani who deals exclusively with money, but a chenveni, a storekeeper, he sells things in a store, so he deals with money because money comes in, but he's selling items. So chenveni kabalavayis ramei rabbi domer chenveni kashulchani. That's machlokas tanaim ramei rabbi yudah, whether he has a din of balabayis or a din of a shulchani in terms of his ability to use the money, and therefore his chiyuvim if the money were to get lost. Says the Gemara, Mishum Ditzrurin Lo Yishtamish Ben, going back to that first halacha, you give money to a money changer. So he said, if it's loose money, he's for sure allowed to use it. But if it's money that's tied up, then he's not allowed to use it. Why should that be the case? As Rashi points out, Bitmiya, Magiloi Das Yeshkan, Shein Chafetz Yishtamish Ben. In what way is he indicating that he doesn't want you to use it just because it's wrapped up? Me'achashimein Mutarim Kamer Yishtamish Ben, Damachnas Yodeh Shutzarach Tadil Mos, meaning we're working with the assumption that you know this guy's a shulchani, you know he's always in need of money, so how do you handle money? When you put away money, you put away in piles. That's the way you pile it up the change in roles, and that's why. But it doesn't mean that you're making it off limits. It's just that's the way to neatly put away in an organized fashion to keep money. So how does Tzurin tell you that you can't use it? No, there's more than just the fact that it's bundled up. There's a chasima on it. You put some sort of seal on it to make sure that it's not tampered with. So if you have a seal to try to make sure that it's not tampered with, so then you know that he doesn't want it to be used. Rav Mari Amar B'Kesher Meshuna. It's not just that he ties it up. He ties it up with an unusual kesher. So since it's a kesher mishuna, he's going to know when it's been tampered with. Now, ikada amri, his second lashon is boy Rav Mari kesher mishuna mai, where Rav Mari asks the question. He's not sure what the halach is by kesher mishuna. Not that if it's kesher mishuna for sure you're not allowed to use it, but that he's not sure about kesher mishuna. And teku, we leave that unresolved. The Rambam in she'elu pikadon perek zayin halacha vav says that kesher mishuna lo yishtamesh, and if it gets stolen or lost, you're going to be putter, because you weren't allowed to use it in the first place. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes, and the Baragola just points out that even though according to the second Lashon, it's a Safek, and Misafek, you're not allowed to use it. Meaning, when the Rambam says you're not allowed to use it, does that mean he paskins like the first Lashon, that it's Asur to use it, and not like the second Lashon, that it's a Safek? No, even if you paskin like the second Lashon, Misafek, if I'm not sure if I'm allowed to use it, Misafek, we're going to have to be Machmir anyways. And that's what he says, that the Baragola points out that's what it sounds like from the Rif and the Rush, because they quote the second Lashon and then they say after the second Lashon, after the Teku, Lefichach lo yishtamish, because we're not sure, that's why you're not allowed to use it. And Tzenu Muka Yosef explains the Rif as well, because this is a Safek Yisr, Safek Daraisa L'chumra. I don't know if I'm allowed to use this money, if I'm authorized or not. Using someone else's money is a potential Issa Daraisa, so I have to be Machmir. The Achronim point out that L'chora, it depends on how you view the Safek. Meaning, yeah, Safek Daraisa L'chumra. But what about Safek Mamon? What do you do when you have a Safek Mamon? So the Achronim point out that you can't say this is a Safek Mamon, because if he has a heter to use it, it's not his, so it's not a Safek Mamon. There's no Safek who owns this money. It definitely belongs to the guy who gave me the pikadon. If I'm not sure if it belongs to me, belongs to him, that's a Safek Mamon. But if I know it belongs to him, I'm just not sure if I can use it or not. That's a suffix. This a suffix iser. It's just a suffix whether I'm allowed to be mishtamish in the money. And it's not like any other suffix mammon where it's a suffix gazela. So that's how they understand. However, the Sefer Nefesh Chaya thinks that it can't be that the Rambam holds the halacha it's a suffix and that's why we're machmir, because in general by any suffix mammon, if the toveya is toface, then we're not motziya mimenu. We don't make him pay. So it would turn out that if the Rambam were just paskening this misafek that you're not allowed to use it, good, so if I do use it, well, it can't make me pay. Can't make me pay for having used it. So if it's why wouldn't the Rambam write that if the mos is stolen, or if it's toveya is toface, that lo motziya mimenu? So it must be that the Rambam is saying this b'toras vaday, not b'toras safek. Okay, so that's the discussion in the Achron. Says the Gemara, mutarin ishtamish ben, that it said that the Mishnah had said that if the money is untied, then the money changer is for sure allowed to use it, and therefore, since he's allowed to use it, if it gets lost, he's chayiv ba'achriyusan. The key is the therefore, it's the v'chule that we're going to be focusing on. Amar Rav Huna v'afilu nensu, not only if it gets lost, even if an onus happens and the money is gone, meaning not only, once you're allowed to use it, not only are you chayiv on gnev v'aveda, you're even chayiv on onsim. So frak the Gemara, but then why didn't the Mishnah say that? V'avdu katani, the Mishnah says that it got lost, it didn't say that you're chayiv on gnev v'aveda. So the Gemara explains, kidda rabba, damarama nignavu b'listimazin. Avdu shatavas v'yasabiyam. Sometimes the words gnev v'aveda don't really mean the level of Gnev Vaveda. Sometimes Gnev Vaveda are a way to refer to different types of onsim. Gneva sometimes means listim zuyin, that armed bandits came and took it from me. That's not Gneva. That's an ones. That's much worse than that's much more out of your control than a Gneva. And avdu sometimes means that your boat sank. So that's also not a regular aveda. That's an ones. So over here, when we say nevdu, we don't mean aveda in the sense, oh, I lost it. We mean that it was nevad mina olam by the fact that tavas finas ubiyam, which is an ones. Rav Nachman amar netin sulo, and Rav Nachman says no, you're not going to be responsible for an ones. You're only going to be responsible for geneva veda. Says Rashi, netin sulo calls man shelo neshtamesh lo havi shoel ela avdu dafka chayv kshomer sachar. Meaning, granted, our Mishnah is saying that if you have the right to use it, then you're responsible for aveda. Rashi points out, yes, as long as you have the right to use it, you're responsible for aveda, even if you never actually used it. Once you actually use it, now your level of chiyuv gets raised. Meaning, even according to this, that you're not chayiv an onsen, that's only before you actually use it. But once you actually use it, then certainly your level of chiyuv is raised up. So that's what Nachman says, that nensu you're not chayiv an onsen until you actually use it. So Amalei Rava L'Rav Nachman. Rava challenges Rav Nachman. He says, Liddi dachta amrit nensu lo, according to you that you're not chayiv an onsen until you actually use it. Apparently we don't view him, the guy who has the money to watch, as a shoel, because if he were a shoel, he'd be chayiv even in onsim. Well, if he's a shoel, then he's not a shomer sachar either. Meaning the whole reason to view him as a shomer sachar is that in some way he's benefiting from it. If he's benefiting from this money, so what do we call that? If someone gives you money that you're allowed to use, we call that you're borrowing, you're a shoel. So there's no reason to take the middle ground over here. Either he's not allowed to use it at all, and he's a shomer chinam, or he's allowed to use it, and mainly he's a shoel. So where do you get the shomer sachar status from? Some of the Bahamo dinalach to hold the nana mahanaba who ana di misramile zvina disparav chazavnbu have a shomer sachar. That until he uses it, he hasn't become a shoel. But the fact that in the back of his mind he knows that if some business opportunity were to present itself, he has the liquidity, he has the assets, he has the ability to invest, he has the money to invest, that hana'ah, that knowledge of hana'ah, is enough to make him a shomer sachar. That's not enough to make him a shoel, because he's not actually using the money yet, but it's enough to make him a shomer sachar, because he knows that he has that he can shop around for interesting business opportunities, knowing that he has the ability to use that, it's like a line of credit or something. So you're not actually using it, you didn't borrow the money yet, you're not starting to pay when you take from the bank, you're not starting to pay interest in it yet, but you know that you have it, you know that you have that line of credit to draw on, so there's a certain hana'ah in knowing that you have that in your back pocket, so that's that makes him like a shomer sachar and not like a shoel. So that's what Rav Nachman says. The Rishonim raised a question that, generally speaking, Hilchsuk Rav Nachman Bedini. Rav Nachman is considered a very great expert in Dinei Mamonos, and we pass like Rav Nachman in Dinei Mamonos. So even if he has the heter to use the pikadon, that we would paskin that he only has the status of a shomer sachar. However, earlier on in Daf Chavtas Amud Aleph, we said that according to Rav Yosef, a shomer aveda has the din of a shomer sachar, and the Mishnah over there says that a shomer aveda who sells the aveda and he's allowed to use the money mitakanas chachamim is dino kishoel. He takes on the status of a shoel. So apparently, when a shomer has the heter to use something, he automatically becomes a shoel. That's what emerges from the sugya and Daf Chavtas. And yet we pass like Rav Nachman in Dini, and Rav Nachman says, no, the heter to use it, he's still just a shomer sachar. So it seems, some of the Rishonim say, oh, so it must be that over here we don't pass like Rav Nachman, that the halacha must be like Rabbah, that we don't pass like what the Gemara says over there, that it must be that a shomer aveda has the din of a shomer chinam. So you can't prove from the Mishnah that if a shomer aveda has a heter to be mishtamish, that he has the din of a shoel. But Rav Rishonim pass like Rav Yosef over there, that he does have a din of a shomer sachar normally, and once he uses it, he has a din of a shoel. So once he has a heter to use it, he has a din of a shoel. So why would we paskin like Rav Nachman over here that he has a din of a shomer sachar, and over there we paskin that he has a din of a shoel? So all the Rishonim essentially work with the idea that you have to say there's a difference between a shomer aveda, where the guy who owns it never gave it to you, he never trusted you with it, he never asked you for it, he's not coming back to look for it from you, because he doesn't know who you are, he doesn't know who found the Aveda, versus a Pikadon, where someone has given it to you. They each take slightly different angles. For example, the Rive that is quoted by the Rashba and the Rush, that Hana'as Shimush over here is a Hana'a Gerua, meaning the fact that you're able to use it is not such a high level of Hana'a, because you're afraid to be Shaleach Yad, you're afraid to use it to buy anything, because you're afraid that maybe the Mafkid is going to come to ask for his money at any time. So that's why you don't become a Shoel, because you don't really have the freedom of a Shoel. But by an Aveda, once you're allowed to use it, you do have the freedom of a Shoel, because Avedas can last a very long time till you actually find the owner. He has no idea who you are, so it could go much, much longer, and therefore you would have a din of a Shoel. Or, for example, the Ritva and Daf Chavtas suggested that only over here the Bailam gives you the money So they also give you the right to use the money, so that the das is not to be chayv and onsim. But a dmei aveda where the money didn't come to you midas habaylim, and the hetter to use the money was only takanas chachamim. The chacham didn't want to give you rishus unless you take it upon yourself like a total halva'a, where you become chayv and onsim. That was part of the nature of takanas chacham. So you have different permutations of essentially the same idea, that there's a difference between being given something versus finding something and having the right to use it. Eisir Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman asks Rav Huna the following: Hamafkin Moses El Shulchani. If someone gives money to a shulchani as a pikadon, Imtsrurin Lo Yishtamish Ben. If they're tied up, if the money is bundled up, then the shulchani is not allowed to use it. Lefichachim Hotzi Lo Ma'al HaGizbar. Therefore, if the shulchani does use it, the gizbar. Now we're talking about that. What money is this? This is a gizbar giving money of hegdish to a shulchani. So since it's a gizbar giving money of hegdish to a shulchani, if the gizbar gave it in such a way where it was evident that the shulchani was not supposed to be using this money, and then the shulchani does use the money, the gizbar has not violated me'ila. He gave it in a way where it was not supposed to be used, so he's not considered to have misappropriated it. He gave it to someone for safekeeping, where it was obvious that it was just for safekeeping. V'mutarin, but if generally when you give money that's not tied up, you give loose money, people are allowed to use it, yishtamish ben. So if a gizbar gave a shulchani money that was loose, money that wasn't tied up, lefichach mhotzi ma'al hagizbar. So if he spends the money, it's the gizbar's problem. The gizbar is in violation of mi'ila. V'yamrit afilu ne'ensu ma'ir yahotzi afilu lohotzi nami. But if you say that you're going to become chayiv on onsim as well, why do you have to say imhotzi? Even if he wasn't hotzi, even if he didn't, the shulchani didn't use the money. If you hold that as soon as he has the right to use the money, he's a shoel, so right away it left. When did the gizbar take it out of the rishus of hagdish? The second he gave it to the shulchani. Not when the shulchani actually used the money. Meaning if you hold that he's a shoel right away, he becomes chayiv and onsim right away as soon as you give him loose money. That's when he becomes chayiv. In onsim, that's when the gizbar should be chayiv, because that's when it's leaving the rishus of hagdish. No, really, the same would be true even if he's not hotzi, if he doesn't use the money. When is the gizbar in violation of mi'ila? When the guy used the money. When the gizbar gave the money to the shulchani before he ever used it. Why then do we say im hotzi the gizbar is chayiv? Because in the ratio we said if he's not hotzi, that if we use the term even when the shulchani does use it, the gizbar is not in violation of me'ila, so we use the term hotzi again in the seifa, even though in a chinami, it's not about the hotza'as ha'mamon in the seifa, it's really just about the fact that the shulchani has the right to use the money. Good, so that's the end of the sugi of mafkin moses shulchani. New Mishnah. Hashalech yad bepikadon. If someone misappropriates a pikadon, he uses it for his own benefit, he's shalech yad. Beishami yom yilaka b'chasr b'yaser. Beishami says he's going to pay the worst of it, meaning if it changes in value, goes up or down in value, he's always going to have to pay the higher amount. Beisil says it all depends on the shas hotza'a. The Gemara is going to explain what Beisil is saying and in what way he differs from Beis Shammai. Rabbi Kiva omer kishas hatviya. When the guy is toveya him ledin, he says, hey, I want my pikadon back, so what is the pikadon worth at that moment? That's how much he's going to have to pay. Not what it was worth when it was originally given to him, not what it was worth when he was shaleich yad, what it's worth at the shas tviya, at the shas din, that's what he's going to have to pay. Amar Rabba, Hayman de gozel chavisa de chamra mechavre. A guy steals a barrel of wine from his friend. Meikara shav yezuza. So this is a similar discussion, except from not talking about a pikadon, talking about a stolen item. Initially, when he stole it, it was worth one zuz. Hashta shavya arba'a. Now it went up in value, it's worth four zuz. And Tavra Oshasya. Not only, it's not a matter of returning the wine, because if you still have the wine, you just give back the wine. It doesn't matter what it's worth. You're supposed to return the item that you stole. What if you broke the barrel open or you drank all the wine? Mishalem Arba'a. You would have to pay how much it's worth right now, the higher value that it's worth right now. Itvar Mimela, but if it broke on its own, so Mishalim Zuza. Then you only pay what it was worth at the time that you actually stole it. My Taima, Kivin de Yisa, Hadra Lamara Be'ena, Hayishaita Dekash Shasileo Dekatavarla Kagazal Minei. Since if the wine were still around, you'd be allowed to just give back the barrel. So when you break it, when you drink it, that's when you're really stealing it. So you always have to pay Kishas Agzela. Tinan Kala Gazlan Mishalman Kishas Agzela. The rule is you always pay how much something is worth at the time of the Gazela. So if you actually are the one who drank it, you're the one who actually actively broke it, that is your Shas Agzela. That's when you're considered to have been stealing it. Because otherwise, before that point, wherever the wine was, it was considered Bereshusei Demare. It was considered as if the original owner still had it, because that's what you'd have to just give back to the original owner. And when you break it, you drink it, that's your Maisa Gzela. But it's for Mimela, Mishalim Zuza Mai Taima. Why, if it breaks on its own, do you only have to pay a Zuz? Hashta lo avilav lo miti. Because the reason you only have to pay Zuz is because right now you didn't do anything. It broke on its own. So what generates your chiyuv? What did you do that generates any chiyuv to pay? Ayishaita de gazla. The moment that you stole it. And guess what? Ayishaita zuzu hudashavya. The moment that you stole it, it was only worth one Zuz. And therefore, you're only going to have to pay one Zuz when it breaks on its own. There is a machlokas in terms of how to understand this din, the first din, that when you steal it and then you break it, you drink it, you're chayiv what it's worth right now. The ktsos in Simulam Dalit Sivkot and Gimel writes that the chayiv of tavro shasya, of breaking it or drinking it, is a chayiv midin mazik, meaning you already stole it, so the stealing is already over. That you did when it was worth a zuz. But now, in addition to stealing it, you're also being mazik. You're also destroying it. So the chiyuv comes midin mazik. So even though midine gneva, you're only chayiv one zuz, but midine mazik, you have an additional three zuz to pay. And he says, it can't be that it's just another din of gneva, that, you know, that it's a second act of gneva that you're doing when you drink it or break it, and not a din of mazik. Because the Gemara in Baba Kama tells us, Samach Beis and Beis, Hagonev min Haganav Pater. Once something is stolen, it's over. It's stolen. Someone else steals it from the guy who stole it, he's Pater, because he was not Gonev min Rishos Abaylim. And the Gemara is going to learn that from the Pasuk, Vagonev mi Beisa Ish, and Lo mi Beisa Ganav. So the guy, if someone else is not going to be Chayiv and Ganev from the Beisa Ganav, the Ganav can't doubly steal it. Once he already stole it, it's stolen. There is no further Ganeva from the Beisa Ganav. That is the Ktsos's understanding. Therefore, when you drink it, you break it, not chayiv midine gneva, chayiv midine mazik. However, the Nesivos in Siman Lamed Daled says a little differently, very differently. He says the chiyuv is midin gazlan, that even though Goniv ben Aganav is pater, yeah, that's when the second Ganav was only machnas l'reshuso. If all the second Ganav did is he transported it, it was there, now I'm bringing it into my reshus, then we say Goniv ben Aganav is pater. That is not what's happening here. He's not transporting it, it's already in his reshus. What's he doing? He's destroying it. That's a whole new level of Geneva. If he breaks it, he eats it, he's going to be chayiv, because now he's taking it further out of the Rishos HaBailim. See, when you're normally Gonev Min HaGanav, the owner doesn't have it anyway. So does it make a difference to him whether it's in that Ganav's Rishos or that Ganav's Rishos? The second Ganav didn't take it any further away from the Bailim than the first Ganav did. But if a person does an act of Geneva where he's just transported it, and then he breaks it and destroys it, he's made it further removed from the Bailim, because at least it used to exist. Now it doesn't even exist. So he's removed it even further from the Bailim. That's an additional act of Geneva. That's what the Nesiva says, and therefore one is Chayiv on the second act of Geneva. They point out that the Lashon of the Gemara sounds a lot more like the Nesiva's, because what does the Nesiva say? That Ahi Shaita de Kashasile or de Katavra la Kagazal Mine. That at that moment he's doing an act of Gzela. Doesn't sound like it's an act of mazik, that it's an act of gzela. Sounds much more like the nesivus. There is a third explanation, though, and that is the explanation of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim understands that, based on the Rambam, that if you break it or drink it, you're chayiv even kefel, at the based on the value of the gneiv at the time of the tavro shasya. So he says, Goniv min Haganav is pater from kefel. So how could it be that you'd be chayiv kefel? So Reb Chaim understands that there's a third din of tavro shasya, that yes, you're chayiv mishum gneiva, but it's not, but this gneiva is not an additional geneva. It's a hemsheikh of the original geneva. Yeah, goniv min haganav is pater. You know why goniv min haganav is pater? Because it's a second geneva. There's a second act of geneva. When it's all the same guy, it's not a second act of geneva. It's all a continuation of the original act of geneva. The whole patur of ganav sheni is because he's not goniv beis habaylim. But if it's all a hemsheikh of the original act of geneva, it's all considered to be one maisa, and it's considered to be from the rishus habaylim when you originally stole it. Ultimately, it was going to lead to the breaking or the drinking of it, and therefore it's all considered one act of geneva. That Reb Chaim is used to explain a lot of different things. The Acharim, for example, wonder why we have to mention over here Kol Gazlan and Mishalman Keshas HaGzela. What's the sheichus of that chiddush to our Mishnah? The Mishnah is mechadesh that if it goes up or down in value after the geneva, you pay Keshas HaGzela. Rabba's mechadesh that Shvira or Sia is Keshas HaGzela. So Mimele, you definitely pay for Arba Zuz, like the time of the Shvira or the Shasiya. That is the Shasa Gzela. What does that have to do with going up or down in value after the Gzela? We're making this the Shasa Gzela. So according to Reb Chaim, it works out very well, because the Chiv of Tavro Shasya is not that something happens after the Gzela. It's that it's a hemsheikh of the Gzela, and therefore the operative klal that makes you chayiv more money is that you pay kishasa Gzela. This is still considered the shasa Gzela, according to Reb Chaim. It's not some additional thing that happens beyond the Gzela. It's still the shasa Gzela because it's a hemsheikh of the same Gzela. So that's the important chiddush of Reb Chaim. Okay, says the Gemara further now, four lines from the bottom of the page, five lines from the bottom of the page. Tanan, beisilom kishaso tza'a. So Basil said you pay kishaso tza'a. What does that mean? My kishaso tza'a. So again, the case was you were shaleach yad bepikadon, and it went up or down in value. So what does it mean you pay kishaso tza'a? Ilem kishaso tza'a mina olam. If it means to say at the time that how much it was worth when it was taken out of this world, ubemai. If it went down in value, does anyone say that you'd only have to pay the lesser amount of how much it was worth when you took it out of the world? You definitely have to pay kishasa gzela. And if it's talking about that it went up in value, well, that's exactly what Beishamai said, that you pay the worst, that you pay how much you pay the higher amount. So if it went up in value, that's what you're going to pay. So clearly kishas hotza doesn't mean the amount that it was worth when it left this world, but it means kishas hagzela, how much it was worth when you took it from the bailim. And when it goes up in value, Beis Shammai says that you have to pay the higher value, and Beis Hillel would say no, however much it was worth when you took it from the base bailim, even if it went up in value. So says Gemara, Lema Rabba Damar ka Beis Shammai. So wait, Beis Shammai is the only one that says you'd have to pay how much it was worth when it went up in value and you took it out of this world. So Rabba is going like Beis Shammai. So Amalecha Rabba be yeser kol yam lepligi. Rabba would say, no, we're misunderstanding the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Remember I mentioned before we're going to have four different understandings of the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So Rabba says, no, everyone agrees that if it goes up in value, you pay the higher value. Ki pligi b'chaser. The whole machlokas is if it goes down in value. That's where Beis Hillel says, kishas hotza min ha'olam. Didn't we always say that everybody pays kishas ha'gzele? Beis Shammai savri, shlichas yad, eina tzricha chisaron, v'chi chaser b'rishus ha'didei chaser. Beis Shammai holds, in order for something to be considered shlichas yad, it doesn't have to lose value. And therefore, when it loses value, it's still considered in the rishus of the gazlan, because even though it wasn't chaser when he was shaleach yad, it's already considered to be in his rishus. So if it goes down in value, he's going to have to pay the higher value that it used to be worth, because it went down in value in the rishus of the gazlan. As soon as he's shaleach yad, I don't care whether he did it, he affected its value when he was shaleach yad, it now became his problem, and therefore if it used to be worth more before he was shaleich yad, he's going to have to pay that higher amount of money. Then no, shlichus yad is only effective if it actually causes a loss of value. And therefore, that loss of value would be if there was no loss of value at the time of shlichus yad, and then later on it just happened to have gone down in value. That's not the gazlan's problem. That's the problem. That's not the shomer apikadon's problem. That's the problem of the bailim. And therefore, you could pay the lesser amount. Ella Hadam Rava. So says Mara, okay, so if that's what they're arguing about, Beisham Beisila are really arguing about whether Shlichus Yad Shricha Chisaron or Ainat Shricha Chisaron. Is everyone going to be satisfied with that explanation? Ella Hadam Rava Shlichus Yad Ainat Shricha Chisaron. Remember, we had the sugi about Shlichus Yad Shricha Chisaron, and Rava holds Shlichus Yad Ainat Shricha Chisaron. Lema Rava Damar Kaveshamai. So what we're saying now, according to this understanding of the Machlokas, is that when Rava said that he was just passing like Beishamai against Beisila, we would rather not assume that way. The case over here is you used it to go get some birds from a high place. It was a ladder, and you just moved it temporarily to get some birds from a high place. So you were borrowing it without permission. But your intention the entire time was never to keep it. The entire time your intention was to put it right back. So b'shol shlomi das kamifli, what they're really arguing about is what the halacha is when someone borrows without permission. Beishamai savri. Shalosh lomidas gazlan havi v'chichas or brushusa didei chaser. Beishamai holds the shalosh lomidas is a gazlan, and therefore it's the gazlan's problem. If it goes down in value, the gazlan takes the loss on it. He has to pay for what it was worth before it went down in value. Or beisil savi shalosh lomidas shoel havi. Beisil holds that some shalosh lomidas has a din of a shoel v'chichas or brushusa demaru chaser. So I've never taken it out of the brushusa of the owner. So if it goes down in value, it's the owner's problem. Meaning when something belongs to me and is in my rishus and it goes down in value, it's nobody else's problem. If I own a car and it depreciates or it gets damaged, even if it's not my fault, I'm the one that takes the loss on it because whatever I own is now not worth as much. So if the shovel never took it out of the rishos of the original Bailam, yeah, it went down in value, but that's the Bailam's problem. It's not the shovel's problem. He never took it out of his rishos. So that's what Beisilil holds, that when you're shovel, shlomidas, you're just a shovel. So frak the Gemara, okay, but still not everyone's going to be satisfied with that. Elahada merav shovel shlomidas the Rabbanan. Gazlan havi lema Rava damar kaveshamai. So when Rava told us that a shol shlomidas is the din of a gazlan, so Rava was saying like beishamai. Alacha b'shevach shel gezela kamiflagi. Over here we're talking about the shevach of a gezela. What does it mean, the shevach of a gezela? Haven't we already been talking about where the gezela goes up in value? What's the difference? What's a shevach of a gezela? So Rashi points out, we're not talking about it goes up or down in value. Sometimes the animal has something that grows on it. Wool grows on the animal. The animal becomes pregnant. Something new is added to the animal. It's not stam market fluctuations. The market's exactly the same. It's just this animal has gone through a change. That's what we mean by chaser and yaser. Beishamai savri shevach gezela denigzal havi. Beishamai says that if the animal became pregnant while in the rishus of the nigzal, while in the rishus of the gazlan, the nigzal is the one that benefits from that. Ubeisil savri shevach gezela to gazlan havi. Beisil says no. If it was in the gazlan's rishus at the time that it got pregnant, at the time that it grew wool, so then it's the gazlan's. And this is subject to the machlokas of the following tanaim. Detanya hagozel sarachel. Someone steals a sheep. Gazza viyolda, and he shears it or gives birth. Mishalim osa veskizose vesvladose divrameir. He's got to pay not just the value of the sheep, the gizos, the vlados, all of the shevach of the sheep as well. Rabbi Yudah Amar gezela chuzeres beinei. Rabbi Yudah says the gezel goes back in intact. It's meduyik this way because Beishamai says that yilaka b'chaser b'yaser, and Beisil says k'shasotza. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the additional item, the additional value that was added based on external factors, not based on market fluctuations. So that, in fact, is the fourth and final explanation of the machlokas between Beisham and Beisilel. But then there was a third sheet in the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says you pay based on the time of the tviya. I'm Rabbi Domer Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Akiva, that we pass on like Rabbi Akiva, not like Beishamai or Beisilel. Umod Rabbi Akiva makom sheish edim, and Rabbi Akiva agrees when there are edim. So says Gemara, my taima. What does it mean? First of all, what does it mean when there are edim? So Rashi explains if there are edim that can tell you how much it was worth on the day that it was stolen, and they saw when it was stolen, so they know exactly that value. So then you wouldn't pay kshasa tviya; you'd pay the value of the day it was stolen. My taima. That since that was the day that he became chayiv, and we know how much it was worth, that's what you pay. Rabbi Ata Omer Kain, do you say this way? That we heard that Rabbi Kiva would disagree even if they're raidim. My time, Adomer Kol Asher, who lo yitnanu biyomash maso, ubeidinu hudukum chayiv le'ashama. The yomash maso is not the day he stole it, it's the day the Beis Din says that he's chayiv. Amalei Rabbi Zeilu Rabbi Abba Bar Papa Kiyazat al-Hasam Akaf Asalama Detzur V'ol Gabi Rabbi Yaakov Baridi. Do me a favor, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, make sure to stop by Rabbi Yaakov Baridi on your way. Go on a little circuitous route to make sure you stop by him. Ubay minei Yishmiel Leil Rabbi Yochan Lach Rabbi Kiva Ein Lach Rabbi Kiva. Try to find out what Rabbi Yochan really paskin. Amalei Hachi Am Rabbi Yochan Lach Rabbi Kiva Liolam. We always paskin Lach Rabbi Kiva. My Liolam, what does the Olam mean over here? What's he adding with Liolam? Am Ravashi Shlot Amar Ani Miliyecha Delak Eidim Avechad Dikeidim Lo. That you shouldn't think that when there are Eidim, it's any different. We always pass in Kshas Tviya, even if there are Eidim. V'inami da'hadru l'duchta v'itbra. Or he's saying li'olam to add that even if you put it back into its place and then it broke. La'afuka mid Rabbi Shmuel, damar lo binan das Baalim, as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that once you put it back, you're no longer responsible. You don't need das Baalim. The Baalim doesn't have to know you put it back. Kamash mlon to binan das Baalim. So we're saying that we pass in Rabbi Kiva that you need das Baalim. V'rava amar halacha beisil. Rava says this is all irrelevant. We pass in like beisil anyway. Rishonim will point out, Rashi points out uncharacteristically, that we paskin like Rava, because Rava is the Basra, and the rule is, Hilchos like the Basra. Chronim discuss why Rashi paskins over here when he never paskins. That is Shem will pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.